Podcast Viewfinder.
Is this really what you want? Living in the shadows? Hunting? Being hunted? Always alone?
I don't stop to think about it.
Hey everybody, I'm Chris.
And I'm James.
This is Podcast Viewfinder, episode 30 dose.
Whoa, 30 dose.
32, we have a lot of Spanish listeners.
You're Spanish today, that was good, right?
A lot of Latino listeners.
I only know Uno, so.
Yeah, dose comes after Uno.
So. Ah, sweet, I learned something.
Hey, that opening quote was from the new James Bond movie, Spectre.
Ooh, Spectre.
I want to expand on that quote later, because I really liked that quote. So, we both saw the movie.
We did. Finally, we actually saw a movie we were going to talk about.
On opening weekend.
That was rare.
So we'll wait till the end of the show to talk about our thoughts on the new Bond movie and stuff, but because we'll have full spoilers and stuff. So, if you've seen it, or if you're not going to see it, you can still listen. But that'll be at the end of the show. Today, there's some other things. There's an interesting video about photographers. You dabble in photography.
I do. I dabble.
You do a lot of photography. So, but I want to talk about that and just our perceptions on life. So this is Podcast Viewfinder. We talk about worldview and the world around us and what goes on in that world. And so, but I do want to tell you some exciting things. So next week, we have two special guests. The next 2 weeks, we got some guest stars. So next week is Ben Miller. So if you've been listening for a while, we had we were part of an auction.
Yeah.
An online auction.
I know. We're like making it big time.
For the Evansville Christian Life Center. And the winner of that auction, we were one of the items in the auction of you can be on our podcast. So somebody paid to be on the podcast. So I don't know. So that tells you a little bit about his personality. He's sick and twisted. So he's gonna pay to be on this. But Ben Miller is the director of Camp Ileana, which is a camp in Washington, Indiana, and he's going to talk about that. I'm excited because I grew up going to Camp Ileana, and so we've got great stories that we can share about Camp Ileana. We take our students there every year for the fall retreat, so it'll be cool. I didn't know him before the fall retreat, and I got to meet him and talk to him.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah, so I'm excited. But I don't think he's ever listened to the show and didn't know anything about us.
He still hasn't listened to the show.
I don't think he has yet either, so he's going to be like, wow, what is this?
Like, what?
What did I get myself into?
Ben.
And then the following week after that,
ooh, we have somebody very special. Head of school.
Head of school, Mike Allen.
Yeah, Mike Allen.
Head of Evansville Christian School, which our church started a school a long time ago. Yeah. Now it's its own thing, and it's growing. And
it is. They're getting ready to plant a high school.
Yeah, high school. They're like on three different campuses. Yeah. It's great. So he's gonna be on here. But he's been a principal at another school, so he's got a lot of stuff about worldview. And I think we might even have some Evansville Christian School listeners now. So
Evansville Christian School, thanks for listening.
They could be a sponsor. I don't know what sponsor. I don't know why we need sponsors, but I feel like we need to.
We
do.
We need to make shirts.
A real podcast.
We need to make t-shirts. We need t-shirts. Would you listen?
Write us at podcastviewfinder@gmail.com
if you would like a t-shirt. Not saying you'd get one, but just if you're interested.
If we had a
interest and you guys want
James
one?
Designs graphics, so you could do a cool t-shirt for us.
All right, I'd probably just do like the standard lettering, Helvetica.
Yeah. So
because budget, that costs a lot of money to design. If you raise a couple of thousand,
So, yeah. James, anything? Okay, so this week, tons of stuff came out. This month has
been a busy. November. Well, November
is a crazy
month.
Yeah. So
we got Black Friday coming up. Black Friday deals are starting to come out. Video games. This is the next 2 months, huge video game month.
Yeah. This week has been insane.
Yeah. New movies.
So, this week alone, a bunch of video games came out. We're going to talk about those in a little bit too. But first, we got to start off. It's time for Florida for Eagles.
I thought you were about to pop.
No,
pop goes to culture.
We'll start off with that. That's later on.
That's right. So, there are two things that happened in Florida. And so I couldn't decide. You chose the latter. But
I don't even know what the other one was.
It was an alligator squared off with a python at a Florida golf course. Now think about this. You're just playing golf. You're worried. You're like, okay, don't want to get in the sand trap. That's always bad. I don't know. I don't play golf. I play putt-putt.
Oh.
I mean, what's the worst that can happen there? Lots. All right? You're like, where'd it go? I don't even know. And then you got the rough. I guess they also have alligators in their pond.
Yeah.
And
well, it's
pythons.
In Florida. Yeah, they're Florida. So, and a python.
So they fought to the death.
Who won?
Well, the person who was there.
Didn't stay around?
They got killed. So
that's not true.
We don't know.
Okay, there's a new Geico commercial where they're like, this guy is like near the water, like it's a golf shot or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's like, ooh, if he makes this shot, he could win the game. And like he's sitting there, and then all of a sudden this giant, I think it's a kraken, like reaches out and grabs the guy out of the water trap. He's like, oh, he just got grabbed by a kraken. It looks like he's got the 9-iron. He's hitting it with the 9-iron. I don't think that's going to do the job. Oh, man. And he's like, and this giant kraken is like grabbing everybody screaming and running away. It's like golf announcers have to talk with their golf voice at all times because they're giving it real calm and smooth. Oh, like the man. Whole thing is, it's a pretty funny commercial.
I want you to do that for a day.
Yes.
In your meetings, everything. You have to do the golf voice. Golf voice.
So if I, hey, everybody, today on the 18th hole. Or like, today at this meeting. No, because they're talking about, like, hey, it looks like this next meeting is going to be about church politics. Because everybody likes that. Hey, I don't even know what we said what this podcast is about. This podcast
is
about
worldview. It's but about we didn't worldview. Expand on it. You just said worldview.
I'm sorry.
So what's a worldview?
So worldview is how you view the world around you. It's everything that you take in as far as media stuff, as far as like the news. When you read the news, you're like, oh, this happened. It's how you filter things in your brain. And so we talk about different worldviews on here. James and James is soon to be a pastor.
Yeah. I got an interview. Let's hope that goes well. Yeah. I'm always worried when people are like, I want to interview.
Well, we work with students.
I don't even know.
You get an interview.
Yeah. So, with the worldview, I mean, you usually start out with your parents' worldview or whoever's taking care of you. And as students get older, we find that they're starting to navigate and develop and add to their worldview that their parents had. Or subtract from it and get their, they might totally get a different worldview. Right. And that's why it's so important because you guys, students, are developing your worldview. And that's why we think it's very important to help you navigate and think about some of the stuff and the implications that worldview has, because it's just how you translate everything and how you view the world.
Yeah. And Common Sense Media just released a new report that they did on 2000. They surveyed 2000 people from 8 to 18. In the 13 to 18 year old age bracket, which I think some of our listeners are that age bracket, and then some of them are parents of that age bracket. Yeah. So, but it says that they, on average, 8 hours and 56 minutes of total entertainment and media usage daily, excluding school and homework. And here's how they define that: TV, movies, video games, social media, internet usage in general.
Yeah.
And then non-screen media is newspapers, magazines, books, and music. So if I'm listening to music while doing homework, does that count? Because homework doesn't count, but I'm listening to music.
Oh, so do they count music as it?
Yeah, that's non-screen media.
Oh, that's good though, right?
I don't know.
But, they're saying media in general, so two.
So,
else am I supposed to do with my life?
So 9 hours of total entertainment and media usage daily. So 9 hours, you're on some kind of screen, on some kind of thing. And that's why we talk about this stuff. Because if you're taking that in 9 hours a day, that's crazy. What was this? There's some statistic. If you do something for so many hours, you become an expert at it. If you're like training to be good at it. Like, so if I just play video games for thousands of hours, that doesn't mean I'm great at it. But
10,000, 12,000, 15,000 hours.
So 15,000 hours.
15,000 is master. 12,000, you're like professional, you can do it for a living. 10,000, you'd be like good enough to teach people. You're not quite to the professional scene, but
so,
still,
that's so 10,000 hours. Yeah, and so if you're spending 9 hours a day, how many days would that mean? but you spend a ton of time with media stuff, and so they found that girls spend more time listening to music, reading, and on social media, while boys are more likely than girls to spend big chunks of time playing video games. So we know that's true, especially with the games coming out this month. So, so that's why we talk about what we talk about. In Florida, there is a worldview going on in Florida because they're crazy. It seems like every article that we talk about in Florida has animals in it. So the next one is Florida building miles of fences to keep panthers from dangerous road.
Right? Or what? That's so crazy. Because you're like,
did Donald Trump become like the governor of Florida?
Well, okay. No, that's weird because usually I'm like, dangerous road. Like, all roads are dangerous. I would think that a panther would make it more dangerous. So maybe they're like, you know what? We want it to be safe. So we're going to build a fence.
And what's the name of the road?
It's called Alligator Alley. You're like, wow, hey.
Why would you name it? So it's a $5 million fencing project. They're going to build 18 miles of 10-foot fencing and work on 3 animal underpasses. Animal underpasses?
Dude, you know, we talked about this back in the past. We talked about deer crossings, right? You put up a sign. And how expensive is that? You just say, hey, deer are going to cross. People, watch out.
Don't get
me. I guess it's not good enough. I guess too many panthers are just getting hit. Or maybe they're not paying attention.
Animal underpasses? What? Like, that is...
How would you even find that? Like, oh, wait. They have signs.
Animal underpasses.
18 miles. And 3 underpasses. Where are you going to place those? Man, I got to walk like 5 miles to get to an underpass. Yeah. That is a long... How long does it take? How long would it take you to walk? I think they should advocate for more underpasses.
Animals are like... Jaguars... Or wait, panthers. Panthers everywhere are like, we want more underpasses. They're going to be like,
hold up. What about the other animals?
Hold up signs.
Would just panthers can use this underpass? That sounds a little bit unfair.
I don't know. Alligator Alley roadway runs perpendicular to most animal movements. Oh. Animals traveling north and south must go east and west to a wildlife underpass to cross the highway.
What if they don't know that?
I know.
What about those rebellious animals? Like, you know what? Forget this fence.
I'm going to jump this 10-foot fence.
I mean, come on. It's a panther.
So are they building on both sides? That would be like, what if an animal gets...
Oh, no!
Yeah, that would be so... Oh, man. You get a flat tire in Alligator Alley.
Yeah.
You got fences on either side of you. There's just panthers trying to find the underpass.
You're like, oh, man.
One of them is just like, I'm just digging under. And you're like, when you're stuck in Alligator Alley with a panther in the middle of Florida. So
yeah.
What I've learned from this is just don't go to Florida. Florida's insane. So...
dangerous.
There's a lot of weird animals there.
I mean, they do have less bears.
They do? Yeah, because they all got shot last week. That's right. It was bear hunting season. So, let's talk about the photography stuff before we get into the pop culture. So
this was from Shutterbug. You found this. You sent it to me. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. So somebody sent me an article. I think I'm going to try and put this in the show notes. So that's on my blog. So if you search Podcast Viewfinder, like my blog should come up. So I'm going to put this, a link to this video in that because it's really an interesting video. So the premise was that there are 6 different photographers and they were photographing the same man.
Yes.
And he was dressed the same. He had a blue shirt on. Sometimes it was unbuttoned. Sometimes it wasn't. He had a shirt on under. He wasn't just shirtless, like and jeans. And he would come in and like they were filming the whole project. I don't know if they said why, but they basically gave him 6 different personalities. So one of them, he was a self-made millionaire. Another one, he was a hero. He said he had saved somebody's life. Another one, there's an ex-inmate.
Yep.
A fisherman.
Yep.
A psychic and a former alcoholic.
And a CEO. Did you say that one?
The CEO was a self-made millionaire.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, okay. So there's those six personality types.
Yes.
So he comes in, but he acts.
He plays the part, yes.
So this is where, he comes in and they like interact with him. They talk to him, kind of get what he wants and all that stuff. And then they take the pictures. And then they have, at the end, they hang up the 6 photographs. And it says like, hey, this is the, they're all like looking at it and they're like, oh, that's weird because he looks like a different person in all these. So when he gets done, he comes in and he's like, hey, I'm not any of those things, but we wanted you to see it. We wanted to know about your, not bias, but just how you would portray this character.
Yeah.
And so then the video ends with this. A photograph is shaped more by the person behind the camera than by what is in front of it. Mm. Okay, so do you agree with that?
Yeah, because we all come in. It is.
So you...
I'm not applying that just to the photographer. I'm applying that to everybody. When I think of that, I'm like, this goes further beyond the person behind the lens. It's me in everyday life.
Yeah.
The way I perceive somebody.
So you take pictures... Like, have you done kids' pictures? Have you done weddings and stuff?
I did one, a smaller wedding.
Okay. And so you, like, you've...
I don't give as much thought to mine yet. Okay. I'm just like, I just need to get a picture.
But you take some really good shots. You do our church's social media stuff and all that. So you can go to the Bethel Instagram. Is it Bethel EVV?
Yeah, Bethel EVV. You should look at
some
them.
Of James's work.
You can go to James A. Helm.
Oh, yeah. You have
my own personal. You'll probably find a little bit more variety.
Variety. But, yeah, so good. So you're saying you shape.
Yeah, so, like, for me, I think it applies more, and I know it eventually applied more behind the lens, but I'm so worried about getting a good picture that I don't think as much about how am I portraying the person. I'm like, this is how the person looks. I'm going to take that. Yeah. But in real life, what they show in the video applies across the board for people. Because I'm like, my perception of this person, what I hear about them, yeah. Like if they tell me, it affects how I'll treat them, how I'll view them.
So do you think it would have been different if you would have came in and had the same dialogue and not played these characters? Because some of the comments, people were a little bit frustrated. They're like, hey, this is giving photographers a bad name. And he said, you know, we've seen, although the person is the same, the subject changes with each story. So,
yeah.
So it's saying, so yeah, they took six different pictures, but that was because they were photographing six different people.
Yeah.
Basically. I guess it was the same person, but six different personas. Like this guy was pretending to be, because
they were going to, trying to go with along with the story. So I'm going to show him in this light.
Yeah. So the picture of the con man one is the most interesting one. I'm the ex-convict, sorry. The ex-convict, like basically you barely see his head. Like it's in the bottom of the shot, but the lighting is really dark.
Yeah.
And he looks like a tough guy in that picture. And you're like, oh man. And then the picture where he says he's a psychic, there's an empty chair sitting next to him. I was like, oh.
They're
great pictures.
The photographer's trying to communicate that. But, I mean, they carried it on and they saw everything. I'm sure everything they saw from that point was, he's a photographer. How does that look? How's that conveyed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're trying to tell his story in the pictures.
Yeah.
And I think they do that. Like, it's portrayed. But
every single one,
But somebody said, like, so a comment of a photograph is shaped more by the person behind the camera than by what is in front of it. Somebody said, that's not necessarily true. They're like, it's kind of this relationship between both of them because they're each trying to figure the other one out. So I'm, like, as the photographer, I'm trying to portray this image, but so is that person. That person wants to be seen in a certain light.
Yeah, you want to, I mean, whenever I go, I guess I do give more thought to it than I thought. You want to capture, I mean, I was like, well, wait a minute, I do. Because you want to capture that person's essence. I kind of use that word a lot, who they are. You're just like, I'm trying to capture that spirit. And so each one kind of captures that. You're like, oh, I see the guy's spirit coming through these pictures. But that comes with going back and forth with the photographer and the person who's being photographed, the model.
Yeah. So, but it brings up a good point. Like, I mean, what you said earlier, like when we view the world around us, if I hear something about somebody that's negative and I meet them, I've already got this idea in my head, like, oh, this person's mean. This person, like in a few weeks, like you're going to listen to Mike Allen. He's a jerk. No, I'm just kidding.
No, that's Robbie, right?
Yeah. So, you'll hear something about somebody, and that's why, like, I don't like introductions. Like when people like, hey, this is Chris, and they like if they introduce me, a lot of times I'm like, oh, this will be the funniest guy you meet, and then they're automatically expecting me like to just tell hilarious jokes the whole entire time.
I do.
And when I don't, they're like, that guy, he's not funny. Yeah, and so there's these expectations you have of people when you meet them, but like this guy, like he was as the ex-convict role, the lady like went to move his shirt. She's like, hey, what if we untuck your shirt? And he's like snapped and like kind of pulled back and like did it himself. Yeah. Like he wouldn't let her like his get near him. And then she gets tense, right? So she's like, I was really uncomfortable in that situation. And so,
very cool.
Yeah. But so yeah, when you go out and like this happens, like if you're a student at school, like you'll see somebody like that may be new to school and you judge them immediately. Like there's you put something in your mind that's like, okay, I can trust this person. I like this person. Don't like this person. There's something weird about them. Even before you talk to them, even if nobody said anything to you, but how much more is it influenced if somebody does say something about them? Because if I'm like, oh, hey, I want to introduce you to James. He's a great guy. You're going to love him. He's like real nice and friendly and all this stuff. And they meet James. They've got that mindset.
All true things.
And then James slaps him and meets him. It's like, oh, sorry. I forgot to tell you hits. No. But we view other people around us in a way. And I don't know how to stop that, right? Like you can't.
I think being aware of it.
Yeah. Just saying.
It really helps. Being aware. Bias don't automatically like discredit.
Right.
But being aware of those bias can really help.
Yeah, because if I realize, like, okay,
I can bias against Xbox.
I hate Xbox. Xbox is so dumb. I have a reason.
If you're okay with being biased and making those decisions, even though we can compare totally next, like they're the same system except for a few different things. And at the end of the day, if PlayStation disappeared, would you buy an Xbox?
Yes.
Okay. See.
But that's not going to happen. Xbox is going to disappear from PlayStation.
Oh, man.
So, maybe I get in a PC gaming. I don't know. Okay, but so our perceptions of people, a lot of times are based on stuff, like, well, now with social media, we'll like perceptions of people based on, like, how they look online. And there's been some things, like, this lady had a skin disease, like, about her face, and everybody, like, she made this video, and she, like, posted a picture on Instagram with just her without makeup, and people were like, you're the ugliest, I can't, like, just said, like, horrible things about her. Then she put all this makeup on, and then put another picture, and then people were like, you're so fake, you're dumb, like, just said all this stuff about, like, how fake she was, because she's covering up her stuff, and then other people were like, oh, you're so beautiful, like, there's all this stuff, and so it was just interesting, because a lot of times, like, people's perceptions of themselves are based on what people say about them online. Like, you take pictures, a lot of times, like, selfies or whatever on Instagram, and you want people to like those pictures and say, oh, you're so beautiful, great pic, like, all this stuff. And Asena, I don't know if I'm saying that right, E-S-S-E-N-A, Asena O'Neill, she's 19, is Australian. She had more than 700,000 followers on Instagram and 260,000 subscribers on her YouTube channel, and she quit. And here's why she quit. She said this. This is on an ABC News thing. This is from Plugged In Culture Clips. So, but she said, I spent 5 years wishing I was this perfect person online, and I spent 3 years every day working really hard at it, and I think if people understood just the amount of effort and time that goes into perfecting your life like that and being consistent, that I think I wouldn't, that I think I, that wouldn't be aspirational. I think the reality is quite sad. So she's saying she spent so much time trying to perfect her image.
Yeah.
And then got to the age of 19, and what made her quit is her 14-year-old sister.
Yeah.
She's like, I looked at my 14-year-old sister, and I remember thinking, like, when I was her age, I would look at pictures of models and say, why am I not like them? She would, like, measure her waist and be like, I'm not like those models.
Yeah.
Which most of the pictures are airbrushed and touched up and all this stuff. Which more and more, like, women actresses are saying, you can't touch up my picture.
Yeah.
So, but it's really interesting because, like, Kate Winslet, you know Kate Winslet? Was she in Titanic? I never saw Titanic. Yep. Okay. But she says that she doesn't allow social media in her home.
Wow. Like, now that is something.
Yeah. So she said, because they're going to look at all these pictures, and she says, and what comes along with that? Eating disorders. And that makes my blood boil. And that's the reason we don't have any social media in our house. Because she's saying that it has a huge impact on women's self-esteem. Because they see all these pictures of women that look perfect and stuff. And so that Asena O'Neill lady, who's 19, she said she removed most of her photos on Instagram, but the one she kept up was, there was one of her in a white dress, and the caption read, not real life. I didn't pay for the dress, took countless photos trying to look hot for Instagram. Yeah. Like, that was, like, her whole mindset was to plug herself.
Yeah.
And that's where I think, like, a lot of worldview for our teens is, like, how can I promote me?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Listen to my podcast.
I mean, to an extent, I mean, that's what the younger generation has to deal more and more with.
I fall into it too, though. Do you?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, now I even opened up my Instagram for that. But mine was more from a business perspective.
Yeah.
Like, if I have to promote myself, if I'm going to do this, otherwise I don't get my whole value from it.
Right. Okay. So that's the difference. So,
yeah,
so
I'm like, finding your value in it. Yeah, if I don't get enough likes, I'm finding dissatisfaction in it. And so I think a lot of students...
You are personally or not?
No, I'm saying students too, but...
Yeah. Well, I find myself doing that, right? I'll open up Instagram like, oh, I got 15 likes on that photo. And I don't do it as much anymore, which I'm getting better about my Instagram addiction. But, like, I used to just, like, immediately, like, I put up a picture, and, like, 5 minutes later, I go back, I'm like, oh, man, how many people? But I do that with the podcast, and I've talked about that before. Yeah. Like, almost daily, I'll check about how many listeners
I'll do it for that stuff. I mean, I'll do it with the social media for the Bethel Church. because I'll be like, how many people are we, like, what's effective in reaching this? Because I want it to be successful and grow, and I want people to hear our message, and I want to build.
Right.
Ultimately, I guess it's behind the organization that I want to, the organization to be successful, and if I'm owning something, I want to do a good job at it.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And so,
but it's hard to separate yourself from that. Because I want people to listen to the podcast because I think we do a good job at it, and I think we're funny.
Yeah.
And we put a lot of time and effort into it. We've almost hit 1,500 listeners. So, total. I haven't been at it 6 months, but I think that's a good... we've almost had 1,000 unique listeners, which is kind of
crazy.
That
is good.
So, but yeah, but 1,500 people have listened to the show. But yeah, so I always want to get it out there more. Like, okay, how can we do this more? And part of it is like, okay, am I doing that for me? Because I want
validation.
I want to taste the glory. Yeah. That's a Nacho Libre quote for all you lovers of Nacho Libre. Yeah. Or do I do it because I think the message is important? And I think it's a little bit of both. Yeah, yeah, it is. So that's hard.
Validation. I'm mattering. I mean, because in this generation, there's a bigger need to matter.
Yeah.
Right? We all want to matter. Purpose. I hear that more and more. And I can't remember. Oh, it was a Tim Keller podcast. He's talking about work and rest. In our generation, it's very hard to turn off and rest. Because if I rest, that's a day that I could fall behind.
Yeah.
That's a day that other people can get ahead of me, right? So I got to keep going to keep up with them. It's like the whole, we shared a Madonna thing. I mean, once you've made it to a certain level,
you haven't
really made it. You got to hit the next level because there's always people that you'll be competing with. And so he said, for the original thing, it's good to rest because at the end of the day, you'll overload yourself. But he said something else interesting. He said, we get a lot of value and our identity from the work we do instead of what it used to be. And it used to be family. Like, family gave me value and I worked, right?
Yeah.
But now it's so much is put on what I do. It's not as much who I am and who I associate with. It's what I do.
Yeah.
And so you're like, wow, like, I mean, what I do matters. Because I hear a lot of people say I want to matter. Like, my work has to have purpose.
Yeah.
But what qualifies that? And how I hear people who get in their dream job and then they get discontent and then they want to move on. I'm like, what changed? Why did it stop becoming your dream job? Well, I've got to have more. I've got to do more.
I got to work my way to the top.
Even with like, you could look, I'm going to be a pastor soon, but will that be enough? Do I have to work at a bigger church? Do I have to do a bigger job? I don't even know what my title is going to be. Pastor.
You're going to stay right here.
Pastor?
You're not leaving ever.
Contract, 50 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's tough.
So yeah, so as you look at your own usage of Instagram or social media or Snapchat or Facebook, Twitter, whatever you use, are you using it just to promote yourself or are you using it as a platform to reach other people? And I mean, that's ultimately for me, like, I want people to know who Christ is.
Yes.
And to grow in their faith, deepen their faith, and then make Christ known in every area of their life. And so if I'm saying that to students and to parents and as I preach on Sunday, is that what I'm telling people? And then is that line up with what I post on Instagram and stuff like that? So, I don't know. I found that video is very neat. We'll put it in the show notes. I'll try to remember to do that. But James, you know what it's time for? Goes the culture.
Ooh, yeah.
Goes culture. Cause this week.
Oh, so much.
James
so
Bond's much. Number one. Again, we'll wait till the end to talk about our thoughts on James Bond.
Peanuts, number two. I didn't realize the Peanuts movie was coming out until
it
showed up in the theater and people were like, I'm going with Peanuts. I'm like, what? They have a movie? But it's gotten great reviews. It's number two. It's made some good money. It said it's like, I saw one review where it said it wrapped all the goodness of Peanuts over the years into one, like, dose, and it was just really well executed.
I was a little bit worried about how it was going to be, actually. So I'm glad to see that it did well. Spectre got 63% for the
Rotten Tomatoes,
and then the Peanuts movie got 86%.
Yeah.
So, and Bridge of Spies got 92%, but it hasn't done real well. No. So,
I know. The Martian, number three.
Martian's staying up there, man. It's like, it's killing it. So, it has 93%. But, yeah, so Spectre didn't get that good of reviews, but it's still fresh. You have to be 60 or above to be fresh. And the Peanuts is it's gotten a really good, so 86%. Yeah, and Plugged In liked it too with what, I feel like we just plug in all the time, but They thought it was a good family movie. So I think so anyway. But yeah, but that's what, because with Charles Schultz dead, I was worried a little bit like how they would take it, because the Muppets, I think, is going in a very different direction than Jim Henson would have them. Would you agree with that, or do you think it?
What do you mean?
Do you think so? Like Jim Henson, like the Muppets,
yeah,
are now like more edgy and going kind of that like bad boy type of route. I mean, they're a little bit more sexual in their humor, a little bit more
to stay relevant. They've had to go that route.
Yeah. So,
but well, Peanuts hasn't.
Yeah, I know they've kind of kept their way.
Yeah.
Here's a quote from the Plugged In review. In fact, the Peanuts movie is pretty much the perfect representation of some 50 years of Charles Schultz comic strips condensed down to a single feel-good family flick. That's what you said. So, but yeah, it's computer generated. So
yeah, it's not the cartoon. So I think it looks cool. I like the art style. I think it's a good take. So I'll probably actually go see it at some point, maybe.
Yeah. So, I'm excited because I like movies that I could take my kids to, because Quincy's at that age, my four-year-old, where she really likes movies. Sunny's three, she's kind of getting a little bit more into the movies. We did watch Inside Out this week with them, and yeah. I was just reminded of how, like, great, I really like that movie. My wife didn't like it so much, though, because she's like, well, because it was the setup, right? Like, everybody told her how sad it was, like, oh, you're going to bawl your eyes out and stuff, and so she was kind of, like, going in expecting that, and I think kind of...
Oh, you ruined it.
Yeah,
did you say it was supposed to be really sad?
I said it was kind of sad about, like, the growing up stuff. My mom and sister told her that they were, like, sobbing in the movie, like, uncontrollably.
Yeah.
And so she thought she was going to be, like, over-the-top crying and all this stuff, but she didn't. So, and that's why, so I think she, like, maybe didn't like it as much as she thought she was going to. Yeah. But there's an imaginary character in Inside Out called Bing Bong. And so today...
Shortcut.
Today Quincy goes...
B-A-N-G-E-R.
Shortcut. But today Quincy's like, hey, let's go to Sam's and buy Inside Out. And when she said that, Sonny goes, I love Bing Bong. That's so funny. Because like when that little character of Bing Bong comes on, Sonny like starts like dancing around, goes like, Bing Bong! Like she's like so excited about this. She's like, what's that? Bing Bong! So she's like crazy about Bing Bong.
I wonder how she's going to be in 10 years.
Who knows? Totally. She'll still love Bing Bong.
I don't know. Maybe. Forget him.
So this is National Adoption Month. Tomorrow, so probably when you're listening to this on the 10th, 11-10-15, that marks the one-year anniversary. We got Sunny a year ago
from China. Isn't that crazy?
So, yeah, tomorrow.
And your lives have been... Wow, it's just hard to imagine you without her.
I know, and it feels like we've always had her. So we'll probably talk more about adoption when Mike Allen's on the show, because they're in that process right now.
Oh, really?
So,
ooh,
yeah,
cool.
So, and it's National Adoption Month, so we'll keep that in November. And you better go adopt a child, James.
I gotta pick up a kid.
National Adoption Month. So,
yeah.
Okay, so that's what's going on. Music, Hello is still number one.
But...
What?
Justin Bieber, new song. Sorry.
A new song.
So, yeah. So, this one is about, obviously, something went wrong in the relationship. Sorry. And so, it goes like this. You gotta go and get angry at me. At all of my honesty. You know, I try. But I don't do too well with apologies. I hope I don't run out of time. Could someone call the referee? Because I just need one more shot at forgiveness. I know you know that I made mistakes. Maybe once or twice. And by once or twice, I mean maybe a couple hundred times. So let me redeem, oh, myself tonight. Because I just need one more shot at a second chances.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the chorus goes this way. Yeah, is it too late now to say sorry? Because I'm missing more than just your body.
Oh.
Interesting. Of course, there's always something.
Yeah.
I mean, there is always something physical
with
to
Bieber.
This. It's just, it's a, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it too late now to say sorry? Yeah, I know that I let you down. Is it too late to say I'm sorry now? Oh, sorry, sorry, sorry. Yeah, I know that I let you down. Is it too... Man, he says that a lot.
Well, that was kind of Adele's song, too. Hello, it's number one. Like, it was about her calling up to, like, try to make amends with this person. She's like, I know I've messed up and all that. So, that's interesting. Like, this is a cool... song, so
yeah, but you know, it just gets me thinking, like, how much do we put in our relationships? I mean, how much is Adele? Because what in her song it's saying it's been this long,
it's been a long time,
and yet, I'm still thinking about this, or I'm wondering, And I'm putting my identity, like, what if?
I think we put everything in our relationships. We have to. Like, that's how we're made.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, our relationship with Christ should come first and foremost, but out of that, like, we were made to live in community. Like, we're made to be in community with people. And so, I think...
But how about living in the... When you elevate those relationships so high... Oh, yeah. But they're already gone, right? Yeah. It's already gone. It's been a year. And so, it stops you moving in other relationships. Because I've seen people who can't move in their relationship with Christ because, well, they've had a romantic relationship and they're like, well, I'm only thinking about this person or all this stuff. And maybe they didn't set up healthy boundaries. And that didn't have to be like the physical part. It's just they were just emotionally too attached and they elevated this person. Because the problem, I mean, our worldview helps us navigate this, but our worldview says that nothing can be elevated to God status. Not the person you're dating, not your kids, nothing. And when we do that, it's not going to satisfy. We're going to have problems if that doesn't work out. Then we will grieve. I think really it shows you what you worship and what you grieve. And so... In the grieving process, if I have a tough time moving forward.
Yeah, but I mean, even if you have a tough time moving forward from a relationship, like, it's okay to grieve, though. I mean, the Bible talks about a healthy, like, there's a time for mourning and a time for rejoicing.
You said a certain thing, moving forward. So if I can't move forward, the grief stops me from living because it's so important to me, that shows me that how much I elevated that.
Yeah, but if you did something wrong in that process and you're at fault, you want to try to make that right. I think that's what hello and sorry are trying to say. Like, hey, we've messed up. Because in that, it says I'll take every single piece of the blame if you want me to.
And it also says something else.
Oh, but you know that there's no innocent one in this game for two. So he's saying it's your fault too. But
It's just about the relationship and the sorry, and I think that's tough. I don't do too well with apologies. Just give me one more shot at forgiveness. Isn't that interesting? Because I need one more shot at second chances. That plays into our worldview also with Christ.
Yeah, and Bieber claims to follow Christ. So. Yeah. I wonder if this is influencing...
We get that, right? And so we all want forgiveness and second chances. Yeah. And that's what, I mean, our worldview, the Christian worldview gives you that. I can't look at any other religion and see that.
It's all works-based, yeah.
Yeah, it's all works-based where Christianity is grace-based. And that's why that...
It's different, yeah.
It is. I've been reading books on just more worldviews. It's just coming up and how very much they affect you. And so they say you've got to look at the shared common experience, right? And so is this really real? Is this really happening in real life? Can it be lived out in different things like that? And obviously in our lives, we want forgiveness. We want second chances. And in Christianity, we see that it is the only thing that gives you that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because in Hinduism, not Hinduism, Buddhism, you've been reading about that. Like it's this, I've got to do all these things perfectly in my life.
Well, I mean, they've got like, yeah.
Yeah, we've got five.
Yeah, the five things and then the 10 things and then the...
When you're a monk, it's like...
100 or...
Yeah, and then if
I'm way off. Don't quote me on that. Yeah. But I'd have to...
It keeps increasing.
But there's things you have to do to be a good... Like, and they want to say good. They don't believe in good or bad.
To achieve harmony or whatever. Yes. Yeah. And so
you work through the cycle. Like, you'll die, and if you didn't quite do it well, then you'll get a different place in life. Because Buddhism is influenced by Hinduism. I mean, the Buddha was a Hindu.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I know, right? He came from Hinduism. He spent time with the Brahmins and all this stuff, and he went through all these things, and he's like, well, none of this works. Everything he interacted with, and so he came down on enlightenment at the end of his life. Through this process of living. But yeah, I mean, Buddhism doesn't give me much hope because at the end of it, it's so... And there's nothing good about it. There is no ultimate good. There is no ultimate evil, even though you get to experience evils and injustices every day. I mean, we can look around the world and we're like, that's evil. Like, who's ultimately going to make it right? And when we come down to it, we crave justice. Especially when we see evil and atrocities, we say justice should happen.
Right.
And that we don't, other religions would claim for justice, but also we see the need for forgiveness. And so, yes, God is going to be just, but he's also so merciful and forgiving. And so that's what's cool about Christianity, is it's the worldview that says that.
Yeah. I'm getting a call from Magnolia, Arizona. I get weird phone calls sometimes. So, yeah, that's a good point. And so, completely switching gears. Oh, wait, real quick. So, video games coming out this week.
Yeah, we got to talk about this.
We're already 40 minutes in. We got to get to our Bond talk.
But, yeah.
Okay, so, Fallout 4.
This is going to take up. This is going to. I'm really like debating. I'm like, can I buy these video games? Because I know that I want to play them a ton, right? I'm just like, I need to take off. Let me rest and play video games.
Before we talk about it, just because we talk about something on the show doesn't mean we're saying this is good for you to consume with your brain. Because some of this stuff, because Fallout 4, I think, has some content that's probably not good.
Yeah, so does Call of Duty Black Ops
3. Call of Duty Black Ops 3 came out this week. Fallout 4 comes out tomorrow.
Tomb Raider. That's Halo what 5 I didn't care came about. Out Halo a few 5 weeks ago. Did.
And then the new well. Tomb Raider comes out.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Tomorrow.
Tomb Raider comes out tomorrow. So,
and there's more the next week.
The new
week?
Tomb Raider is only exclusive to Xbox.
That's for a year.
For a year.
I'm fine with that. I would buy it even if it's not exclusive. I'm okay with it.
I know. I like the first Tomb Raider.
The remake, right?
It's really graphic. Yeah, the remake.
Yes, it shows her
dying a lot.
Well, she does die a lot.
Well, yeah, so I mean the death animation scenes are pretty gruesome.
Yeah, so she falls, she gets cut in half, she gets stuck on stuff, she gets smashed.
Yeah, which I don't know why they do that. Like
the brutality of it, just because it's trying to convey the roughness. How much is at stake? Like this girl's not in an easy case. That's why I think I really liked it, because the survival, just managing stuff, how to sneak up on people.
Yeah,
and you're like, I can't run like. The old Tomb Raider of olden day, I remember that, really blocky, but you have the dual guns, that's what she's known for. Not so much here.
This one is her, the first...
The origin.
The remake, was her starting off, and there's a very cool scene in the game where for the first time, she has to kill somebody. She's in a situation of, I'm either going to die, or I've either got to survive, or let this person kill me. So she kills the person in self-defense. And, you watch her wrestle with that and struggle with, I just killed somebody.
And then after that, no problem.
Then she becomes this ruthless killer where she's, throwing ice picks in people's
eyes. I don't know how many people I killed. I'm pretty sure I killed them all. I'm like, how are there people left?
Well, that's what...
How are there people left on the island?
The Uncharted series, Nathan Drake, the Uncharted series on PlayStation, because they're like, does anybody take into account how many people? He's a mass murderer.
Yeah,
he's just
in the course of three games. They have?
I know.
You're like, this. The bad guys have to have thousands of people on their side.
Yeah, by the end of the game, I'm like, if I was on the bad guy's side, I'd be like, look, everybody I know is getting killed around me. I'm going to can I take a vacation? I don't really care about this jewel you're protecting anymore.
Yeah, forget that. So that's coming out. But I'm wrestling with this,
Which do you buy?
Because I don't want to spend too much. There's four or five games I want to buy right now.
I'm still playing a ton of Destiny. I play Destiny all the time.
See, I'm not as big into Destiny. But right now I'm more into the story stuff. So I'm like, okay, I don't care about playing with people online. It's fun. I'll play Call of Duty.
Yeah. But Fallout 4 is going to be your story game.
Yeah, I'm like, ooh,
or
Fallout
Tomb
4.
Raider.
Yeah, and those are the two. And I'm like, I got to play both of them. Fallout 4 is going to take up a ton of time. So I might start with Tomb Raider.
Do you buy the extra content? This is the thing about games. They sell you on the game.
Depends
and then
on
they
what
keep
is.
Putting extra
if
content.
It's really
on
good.
So if you really want that,
Call of Duty, I do because they have zombie maps. That's the only reason.
But if you just wait, then they put out the Game of the Year edition, and then you get.
But I don't want to wait. I want it now.
You're right. So what's DLC? What's downloadable content? Would you play more? So if Tomb Raider, I wouldn't go back to it. So I'd be like, okay, I'll just buy Tomb Raider now, but Fallout 4, I'd wait a couple months or a year until all the stuff is rolled out. Then you buy the whole thing. I don't know. Okay,
sorry, can't do that. So I've got. I'm like, should I go tonight? Should I just pick it up in the morning?
tonight you're going to play at midnight.
I got to be at Mount Vernon at 7:30.
Oh, don't do that then.
I'll probably just stop by Walmart tomorrow morning on the way out and buy something. I'm like, oh, it's wrong.
And then he'll send me a picture. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't play it. Maybe I'll play my Xbox.
I got purchased this week. I can't play video games. I'll play Destiny at night. But so Fallout 4, though. Okay, here, I played Fallout 3, and I liked that game because it, like, I actually felt like bad about some of the decisions I made in the game. Like, you have to make these decisions. They put these moral choices in the game.
Yeah.
Whether you can be good or bad. And I make decisions. I'm like,
you kill people.
I feel
inadvertently.
Well, yeah, I thought I was making good choices. And then later I come back to something. I'm like, oh, all these people died. And I thought I was helping them. And I felt really bad. I'm like, oh, this is the first time in a video game that like actually felt something towards
something. Did you blow up Nuketown?
No, I didn't blow up Nuketown. But Fallout games, I don't know. I don't think there's nudity and stuff in the game. There might be some, like, sexual humor. I don't know. I have not looked at Fallout 4 stuff, so we're not recommending it. I just know, like, 3 was just an interesting game.
Well, so, it was new. It was a new generation. You're like, what? Look at this. Like, it was totally different, right, than any other Fallout.
Yeah. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens. So, okay.
What's going on? All right. So, we're going to talk.
All right.
James Bond.
Spoiler alert. If you haven't seen Spectre yet, and if you're going to see you don't want any spoilers, then this would be the time. We'll see you later. See you next week on Podcast
We Find Nerd.
But right now, it's 45 minutes. We got to get through this quick. But, okay. So, first of all, the quote that we said at the beginning, is this really what you want? Living in the shadows, hunting, being hunted, always alone. And James Bond says, I don't stop to think about it. But this was on the train scene in the movie. And then he goes on to say, she goes, well, what if you did? What if you did stop? And he's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, because this
then it continues.
I don't even remember the rest of it. I just remember him. What else did it say?
I don't know. You told me.
I know. I said, because she said, well, what if you did? And he said, what, stop? And she said, yeah. And he goes, I don't know.
Yeah.
He says he doesn't know. And I thought that was so telling of his character. And that's why I like the Daniel Craig Bonds.
Because it's more thinking.
It's more like
development.
Yeah, because the Pierce Brosnan one is like, okay, gadgets. And he's just like going around like just murdering people.
But it doesn't
like
tell much of his story.
Yeah, so you don't know much about Bond. Like, yeah, he's trying to stop these evil spies and these like crazy villains that are doing all this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But then you have like the old, I never watched really the Sean Connery, like that's the one people are like, oh yeah, but Sean I didn't really,
Connery.
Sean Connery, I'm Colonel Sanders, but he's not Colonel Sanders, but the plugged in review of Spectre, he talked about like Bond being different in this one, because they're like developing more of his character, but they said like some of the Sean Connery, like he was very sexist, he was like mean when he was kind of off the case, and then when he was on it, he was just this unrepentant killer. He just kill everybody and stuff. And that like Bond movies, they kill a bunch of people in it.
I mean, Bond never really thinks about the people. I don't know. Even the new Bonds, he's not like, oh man, should I? Like, he doesn't think about the killings.
But there was a line in this one. The boss M, he's like, a license to kill is also a license not to kill.
Yeah.
And so,
and he's talking. He's not talking to Bond there.
He's not.
He's talking to C.
Yeah.
Max.
Yeah, so it says, and there are times, Inspector, when Bond could pull the trigger but doesn't. Clever gadgets, villainous layers, and beautiful women are a dime a dozen in Bond movies. But mercy, that's a rare thing indeed. So, and then this is from the plugged interview. It says, in an era in which Superman kills, Miss Piggy dates Josh Groban, and every former Disney starlet seems to be posing nude, it's gratifying to see that James Bond, like the Cabernet he might quaff, or the Caraviglio Pollico, I don't know, that he might nibble, is getting better with age. But it says, just because of that, doesn't mean he's a role model. Yeah. And it says Spectre's a rough movie. But you get to see more of, like, him developing as a character. But this is his last one. As
I don't want it to be, but
I know, because he was really good in this role. But, so your thoughts on the movie. Did you like it?
Yeah, I thought it was really entertaining. I mean, some people have such high expectations, or it's not realistic. And I'm just like, it's a movie. If this was realistic, it would be a documentary.
Well, okay, so, but I think with the Bond movies, it depends, because I think they've set these up to be a little bit more realistic. Because Pierce Brosnan ones are like, okay, this is ridiculous. Like, I mean, it's so over-the-top action. It's kind of like in Die Hard, was it 4 or 5, where he's, like, riding on a Harrier jet? You're like, okay. Like, I get it. This is crazy. It. Yeah. So I always felt like that with the Pierce Brosnan ones. They're like this just bonkers, right? Like, over-the-top, they're doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
But then on these, they brought it back down.
Oh, he didn't have much of anything.
He's got
Casino Royale.
He's got a few gadgets here and there. But, like, for the most part, he's, like, it's his skill.
Just a guy with a gun.
Yeah, it's his skill in his fighting. And
they even make a joke in Skyfall when Q says, what'd you expect, an exploding pin?
Yeah.
When he gives him just a gun and a tracking device. That's all his stuff.
Yeah.
But in this one, he gets an exploding watch. he steals the car.
Which
has some stuff in it, they make fun of that because it's like, oh, it's not equipped for any of these gadgets.
Yeah, it was funny. It was good. There's just, I guess.
It's from the same director as Skyfall.
So here's why, like, my wife said it reminded her a lot of the old Indiana Jones movies. Because there's, like, some campy parts to it. There's stuff that, like, because there's a part where he's like, there's this big fight, and he's like, what are we going to do now? And then just making out. And you're like, because it's like all these kind of, like, goofy. There's some one-liners in it. There's some stuff. Like, it was a little more playful than the other ones have been. The other ones have been pretty serious.
Yeah.
This one was still, like, serious at times.
Yeah.
Okay, but here's the thing that bothered me. And I know it's unrealistic. Like, I know it's a movie. Okay, all this stuff. All right, so the major spoilers right here. Okay, so the main villain is his, like, half-brother. Not even half-brother. Yeah.
Step-brother.
So, yeah, because Bond's parents died when he was little, and so he joined this family. And when he did, like, he had a brother in that family, and that brother didn't like him.
Yeah.
So basically the brother killed the dad and then, like, faked his death and has been, like, on this rise as this guy behind the scenes, Spectre or whatever. And so at the very end of the movie, like, he took him to this, like, special place and he was going to kill him there. It was, like, way out in the desert or something. He was going to kill him. And then Bond ends up blowing up the whole thing, of course, and then leaves and comes back. And then the girl that he likes gets kidnapped and put in this building. Yeah. And so he goes to the building, and in the building, it's like his brother made him, like, an art project. That's what I felt like. He gets in there, and his name's spray-painted on the wall, and there's little arrows pointing where he should go. So he's walking down. It's in the old MI6 building.
Yes.
They got blown up in Skyfall. And so he's walking through it, and then as he's walking, like, there's the target practice, and the targets flip around, and Bond's face is on them.
Yeah.
And then he walks through this little hallway, and there's, like, pictures of the people that Bond has killed and that Spectre has killed. And I'm like, when did this guy have time to, like, plan this? Like, I know, okay, we can say his henchmen did it, but, like, what was that conversation? Like, hello. It's because Christoph Waltz is the bad guy. Hello, could you? I need a picture of Bond. If you could put it on a target dummy, like, I just...
All of them.
Like, on all the target dummies. I'm like, what? What is happening? And so, the other Bond thing, you never strap Bond to a chair and then do anything. Do, like, shoot lasers at him, drill his faces, drill holes in his face.
He got lucky there.
Yeah, like, it's all... Like, Bond always does the same...
Just gotta shoot him.
Yeah, you can't... It was the Incredibles. They make fun of that, like, that movie, because they're like, oh, you caught me monologuing. He's like, oh, the bad guy, like, always tells the plot, and he tells everything that he's been doing and he's going to do, and then the good guy gets away. He's like, oh, why'd I tell him all that stuff? And so they're like, I know Christoph Waltz is, like, torturing him or Spectre or whatever, but instead, you know, Bond, of course, gets away, and you're like, all right. So,
but it was, I don't know. Like, as a villain, if you were to look at each one, who's the best villain?
A Bond?
Yeah, the new ones.
I don't even remember, though. It's been so long since I've seen the
first one. It's the casino, the gambling guy.
Yeah.
Right? But he's not really a super intimidating villain because he's not even in control of his situation. Because he's got people above him. He's got the organization, Spectre. And then you don't know.
Do you not know about Spectre until this one, though?
You know it's an organization in the second one, Quantum of Solace, because they're all meeting.
Oh.
And you get to see the Pale King, who's that? He's from the first and the second.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He's in the first one. He's in the second one. He's not in the third one.
See, I don't catch these things.
Yeah, so...
But, I need to go back and watch
it. And even in the third one, they connect it, but it wasn't known from the third one that guy was being pawned.
So, I did like this one and the last one because they're kind of showing that the world that Bond operates and lives in is kind of going away. Like yes. this one, they the blew shadows. Up MI6. Yeah. And so it's like, okay, the 00 program, like technology is doing a lot of the stuff that the agents drones. Would before. Yeah, you got drones, you got all this stuff. And so I do like that. It's like, okay, here's, like, I'm still trying to find relevance in my life. And that's where Bond's like, I don't know what would happen if I stopped.
Yeah.
All right. So what happens at the end? Does he, the very end? I can't remember.
Takes a vacation.
Does he?
He just comes back and he has to get pick up his old Aston Martin car.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's like, right. Oh, you're Bond. You're back. Drive off.
Okay, so at the very end, Bond is standing over his brother, and he's got a gun pointed at him, and he's like, and the guy's like, finish the job. The brother says that.
Yeah.
And Bond's like, he said, well, I forget what he says. But he's like, I'm not going to, and walks off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, he said, I'm out of bullets. And he goes, out of bullets. And then he walks off, and you're like, all right. Yeah. I like that, because there's a couple of shots where they pan out. I was like, oh, he's going to shoot him. Like, don't do it. Because I always hate it when the good guy shoots the bad guy, right? Because yeah. Bond is supposed to be a good guy, as flawed as he is. And that's the other thing. Man, he just sleeps with women all the time. Like, he's got to have a bunch of illegitimate kids and some STIs in there. like what? He just...
I don't know. All his women are super attractive, though. They don't have STIs.
Who knows? So I'm like, it's just kind of this crazy thing. But
it's every man's dream because you get the cool cars, the hot women, you get to do all the cool stuff, you get to look good. I mean, Bond. I mean, look at all his outfits.
Yeah, right? Hold you on his face. I don't want that. Like every time he drinks, like water's gonna leak out the side. Well, it's not water he's drinking.
But I thought it was drilled into his brain.
I don't know. I thought like you like poked his tooth.
It was
out
like right here. Yeah, and then he goes back here. It's supposed to mess with his.
And it didn't. It didn't.
Yeah, he can't. He doesn't remember the woman.
So, yeah, he doesn't remember him.
Now
anyway.
There was one scene. I didn't even point out the plane.
Oh, the airplane scene?
Right? That crazy. He's like, just, there go the wings.
I know.
I'm just going to push this throttle.
And that's what, like, this action was a little bit more cheesy, but I was okay with it. Like,
yeah.
It was kind of fun. Like, it was, yeah, the airplane, all that stuff. But, yeah, it was just interesting. But here, so the worldview that Bond pushes is, yeah, like you said, the women, every man's dream, right? Like, oh, I can have all the women I want. There's like no consequences to the way he lives.
Not really.
I think these have kind of shown that a little bit though. Cause this one has showed like some of the women, like, cause in the last ones they've died. And so
yeah,
he says
that he's like, and his brother's like, oh, how do you feel that all these women have died?
Yeah.
He couldn't protect them. And now he's going to protect you.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you're starting to see like, okay, maybe this isn't the best lifestyle. And like, because that lady that his love interest in this one, the second one, is like asking him some questions because she doesn't realize, like, she thinks he's in there for a psych eval or something. And she's like, what's your, like, how much do you drink? And he's like, too much. And like, there's just all this stuff. And you're like, okay, I don't know that he likes who he is. And that whole dialogue of like, what happens if you stop? He's like, I don't know. Because he's like, this is what I do. Like, this is who I am. And he can't separate that from
his identities and his job.
Yeah, and so he's like, just part of me is, I sleep with women, I drink a lot, I think he does it to forget.
He lives a numb life. If you look at it, it's just,
He doesn't have close friends. He doesn't... Yeah, and so, it was good, but it was almost sad in a way, because I'm like, oh.
I don't want to be James Bond, but that's not your idea. Of course I want to be James Bond.
Except for the women thing. Yeah, I don't
know. No, I mean, if I wasn't a Christian and didn't have any values, heck yeah, I'd drink and sleep with all those women. Sure. And get the cars and kill people.
But you are a Christian, and so...
What I'm saying,
you live
at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And,
unless you follow Buddhism and you try to do good things with your life.
Yeah, I mean, I try to be all those good things, but good and bad. Yin-yang.
Yin-yang.
They're in a perfect balance. So
yeah. Oh, man. Okay. So, I liked it.
I liked
you
it,
You liked
too.
It.
I gave it like an 8.
An 8?
It wasn't the best Bond.
Yeah, it wasn't.
But I think I enjoyed it. I don't know. With Skyfall, it was good, but I might have enjoyed this a little bit more than Skyfall. Call of Solace, people still give that a harsh review, but I still enjoyed it.
One of our middle school leaders was like, this was the worst one. He's like, he hated this one. And he's like, he likes all the Bond movies.
There's only
like,
one reason, right?
The train scene. Was that it?
Yeah, because he gets
on the
Bond gets saved.
On the train scene, he's about to die and this lady saves him. But I'm like, how many times has he like almost died in the other ones and people come to his rescue. I don't know.
I'd have to go through and review. I'm sure Roger Moore almost died a few times.
Roger Moore. I don't know. I haven't seen any of the old ones. I started with Pierce Brosnan. Goldeneye's great. I like Goldeneye. Then the other Pierce Brosnan ones are kind of dumb. So, we're at an hour. Shoot. Okay. All right. This is a good show, though. I enjoyed it today. So, yeah. Hey, thanks for listening. We do appreciate it. If you could go to iTunes.
Enjoy it every time.
It's great. We're always good. And you can go leave a review on iTunes.
A positive review.
And write us a review. Write us a little review and say, hey, 5 stars and this is why, because they're so great.
Well, we talked about worldview and how it matters in your life. Yeah. Everything. It'll affect every single thing you do.
Yeah, your worldview does. The people you hang out with, the choices you make, all that stuff. So, thanks for tuning in. Next week, Ben Miller's going to be here.
Ben Miller. Boom.
So, be sure to tune into that. And,
We're going to find out how that goes. I don't know what he's expecting either.
All right, guys. It's going to be crazy. So, tune in next week. All right. Thanks for listening. I'm Chris.
And I'm James.
See you next time. Magic.
Podcast Viewfinder.